Good Monday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning, we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. So good morning to those of you who are checking us out on camera this morning. I'll introduce our lovely two young guests here this morning. Not only are they lovely, they can read. And they like reading, so they're smart, and they want your kids to read as well. Representing the first readers of Carroll County this morning, I have Karen Wild. Last time I checked, you were family education chair. Is that accurate?
Actually, I'm the chair of the board now.
Where's my You probably were last year, too.
Well, yeah, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. We're a team. We're a team.
And Linda, I'm not going to guess. I'm just a big supporter, board member.
Yes. I just recently joined last year, was my first year on the board, and I just kind of throw my help in wherever it's needed.
And yes, thanks to both of you for coming out here this morning to discuss this. There's a big initiative that's going on this month. We'll tap into that. We'll discuss what First Foundation does as well. We'll get that done in this first segment before we get to the meat of the competition next segment. But first of all, introduce yourselves. And I know, Linda, you're chomping at the bit to talk. So you first. Give us your background.
Yes.
Who, what, where, when, why, how?
I actually started in education, so I know exactly how important early literacy is. And then now I am currently the county clerk, so I work with the Board of Commissioners, and I do some work with the First Readers Board.
Are you helping them read, the Board of Commissioners?
I'm working on that.
Yeah, there are a couple.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. Yeah.
And you, ma'am?
I am Karen Wild, and I work for Carrollton City Schools. I am the Director of School Improvement, which focuses very heavily on literacy. And so I get to play out my passion, which is really, really just building a love for reading in our community. And I get to pull lots of my friends and people that I love and respect into our organization of First Readers.
And both of you were in education first, educators,
yes.
Right? Now, Linda, what got you into education? It wasn't the paycheck. Was there a teacher? Was there a teacher that got you excited about?
There were several teachers that made a lasting impact on me. And actually, my third grade teacher, Debbie Smith, is just a precious, precious soul. And I will never forget the way she read aloud books. It was so captivating. I mean, who can captivate 8 and 9 year olds for 30 minutes at a time?
So was that from? Well, I keep messing with the mics here. So that was from 7 and 8 years old. You were interested in being a teacher at that point. Karen, how about you?
I don't know a time that I didn't want to be a teacher. Yeah. I was the oldest of four kids, and my mom says I was very, very bossy, and I would pull them together and play school. So I've always wanted to be in education. That's just a passion that I've had. But may I offer this? Because I remember Linda, I was an assistant principal at Bowden Elementary, and her mom, Susan, was there, and they did our after school program, and you were still in high school if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
She and Josh would come in and work with the kids after school, and just a love for kids, and they loved her, and it was beautiful. So it's a neat
Thank
little
you.
Come around.
Yeah. And she likes sugar in her coffee
too. Lots of sugar.
All right, the First Foundation, you hear it, you're thinking First number one, but it's FEST. Tell us about the First
which
Foundation.
Totally blows people's minds, especially when I'm talking to daddies for some reason about it. It's First Readers. Why do you spell the name wrong? Well, actually, it is the name of Robin First, who kind of partnered or paralleled what Dolly Parton was doing in Tennessee with the Imagination Library. She became the huge philanthropist who provided funds to start this organization, which is providing books to children who are from birth until 5 years old. And we provide a book a month mailed to their home that is age appropriate. So if you're a teeny tiny baby, you're going to get those board books that you can drool on and chew on.
And name and color.
That's it. All the things. And at no cost to parents.
Mm-hmm. And so it's from 0 to 5?
Yes, sir.
So I mean, how often will a book change or a level change to a 5-year-old? Because, I mean, do you find out how much their reading skills have improved personally, or you just expect them to change a little bit at age 1 and 2? And
so there are actually literacy benchmarks that we use, or I don't use, our headquarters use to really calibrate the level of text that comes to the home. Of course, for that really that birth to about 18 months, the whole point there is just oral language, providing sounds, looking at pictures, providing those prompts that build vocabulary, and also attention. So helping a child, even at that young age, be able to listen when there's a spoken word and being able to look at something. So you're really building those preschool skills that are necessary for once they get to school to be able to be in a perfect zone.
And First Foundation, how long has that been around?
1999 was the birth year, and then in Carrollton we came along in 2004.
Okay, so I mean still 25 years for the foundation itself.
Yes.
Approaching 25
yes.
years. Are there statistics to show that, you know, if this is successful, how much of a difference it is making?
So it is a very slippery statistic gather, but in Carroll County and Carrollton City, we're working at looking at students who have received first readers and their performance on a test that's given in kindergarten that's just a literacy piece, and where we are in tracking that. We'll also look at those students at third grade to see that third grade proficiency. Several years back, Tony Childers, who was a strong education leader in our community, a principal at Central Elementary, did a study with a group of students at his school and really compared the similar results with students who received the books, but then also looked a little bit deeper into how it impacted students based on their socioeconomic status, and found it to be very a positive influence. We're not able to strap it down to it's just about that, but
it's still a positive.
It is a positive.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The you know, you guys give the books out, but parents have a little responsibility too. We were saying early on, I mean, mm-hmm. kids, you're gonna have to read to your kids, you know,
right.
up through age two and all, but how receptive are they, and how much do the parents actually contribute? I mean, I'm sure there's some parents that kind of, you know, that may not have a chance to do that, but are we seeing the parents participate a lot in this?
The parents that receive the books are also given there's a newsletter that has ideas of how to use the books. So when we're out in public and talking to parents who have the advantage of receiving this, they will talk about all the different ways that they read with their children. I feel like the ones that receive it are happy to get it and they utilize it. I think sometimes there's this misconception that as a parent you're supposed to teach your child how to read, and really it's just providing the opportunity for them to see that reading is valued in the home, and the way you show value is with your time. So sitting with your child on your lap, in your arms, at bed is a great way to convey that this is something that we value, that we want to share together. That value then carries forward when it does become an education component in pre-K, kindergarten, and on.
You said the phrase teach your child to read. I mean, I just had to sit there and think about it. I mean, did somebody ever, you know, they ever teach me to read? I mean, how did that happen? I mean, just, you know, imagine sitting with my parents and maybe just curious of, you know, phrasing and then finally catching on. And if they read the same book to you every year, I mean, you're going to learn that way too.
So there's you just tapped on a biggie right now in education. Certainly right now in the state of Georgia and across the nation, there's a strong focus on foundational reading skills. And so when we look at teaching reading, there are different components that you need to have available for a student to learn to read. The very beginning of that is called phonological awareness. Doesn't that sound very fancy? But basically, you would get this more than anyone. It's the sounds of what you hear. And then you progress through that into phonics, which is the written part. So that's when we're looking at how the sounds that letters make, the combination of those letters. And then you have to tag on to that vocabulary. So what do those letters put together mean when they make a word? And then what do sentences mean as they form together? From there, there's fluency and comprehension. And all of those pieces are necessary in teaching reading, but it's not like this magical moment that I'm going to learn on the third day of kindergarten. It's a process, and all of those pieces have to come together.
And if you see that happen to a kid, you know, follow that kid, watch that kid. If it magically happens, after
it
that,
is the greatest moment of a teacher's life.
When you see that little light bulb go off.
Yes,
Karen Wild and Linda Bingham, our guest on this morning's Community Voice, representatives of First Readers of Carroll County. Before we do take that first break and get to the meat of our program this morning, how hard is it for me to be part of this if I have a kid who I would like to see better themselves with books?
It is, I hope, the easiest thing that we can make possible for you. There's a registration form that you would need to complete that has your address, the age of the child, the birth date. And if we can get those in our hands, we put them in our database, and an immediate, well, it takes about two to three months for the books to start coming, but it is that easy. And we'll pick them up. We'll hand them to you. You don't even have to mail them in. One of our team members just converted a registration to an online option, so we flash that out. So really, it's just signing up. We do not share your information outside of our organization. Honestly, that's an interesting thing. When parents get it, they're like, no, what are you doing? Yeah. What's the catch? This can't be. It is true. It's free.
I forgot where I was going. It was very important, but now
I'm so sorry. I do the same.
All right. We'll take our first break here.
Sorry.
We'll take our first break here, come back, and continue our conversation with representatives. Oh, here it is. Ready? I knew it would come back eventually. But how important is it for them to have that physical copy of a book as opposed to, everything going digital now? Are you guys doing that? Are you putting these things on Kindles for a kid, or you hope you never do that?
So, there's a mix, but okay. Old school Karen wants to pick that book up. There's nothing better than opening that book, taking a smell of those fresh pages and getting ready to jump into a story. That's a magical experience. I've not quite seen it replicated in a digital format, but Karen, as a reader, uses a Kindle and reads on her own. So I think there's a place for both of those, as far as first readers is concerned, we're going to continue with the actual physical copies of the book.
And, I like those physical copies too. I don't know if I told you this before the show, but there's a book called Trumpet of the Swan.
E.B. White.
Yeah, I think that was in first grade, and that was the first real book that I read. I still have it. It's got crayon markings and everything. Yes. I just can't throw it away.
it's a trophy.
It's on the shelf with my Beatles biographies and things like that, but I still have it. Can't throw it away. All right, we'll take our first break, come back, and talk a little bit more with representatives of the First Readers of Carroll County. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Customized Academic Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Hey, 43, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington, our guest this morning representing the First Foundation of Carroll County. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, where we are streaming live right now. My guests this morning, Karen Wild and Linda Bingham, both with First Readers of Carroll County, have a cool little initiative going on right now. I noticed that the marketing campaign started over the weekend.
Yes, sir.
It's all over the Fache book, and the promotion is help change the lives of children in Carroll County by partnering with us in providing books. Vote for your favorite book character in our second annual book character contest, and put books in the hands of children in Carroll County from birth to 5 years old, as we talked about. I got about a two-week period where you can vote up until the 15th. Go on, visit the website Carroll First, F-E-R-S-T.
Thank you.
.my.canva, C-A-N-V-A dot site. And I saw the slash there, and I was like, oh my gosh, I should have just
more.
Yeah, no, it's just we that, tried to that's keep it. Carolfirst.my.canva.site, S-I-T-E. So tell us about this. I guess go back to last year, the book character contest. How did that turn out? How did it come about initially? Was it successful, apparently, because you guys are doing it again?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So last year was our initial release of our book character competition, and it was a raving success. Mm-hmm. We exceeded our goal. We made $5,405 to support our local readers in our community. Miss Linda Carnes came away with the first place win. We had a steep competition between all the characters, though it was great. There was some smack talking going along, yes, on the sidelines. You got to have that in every competition. So this year we are excited. We have doubled our number of participants this year, and you'll recognize some of these. Let's see, we got to name off a couple.
Sure.
I saw Scott Cowart is one of them, and boy, how humble and caring for kids you must be to allow yourself to be putting that Prince Charming
out. Prince Charming, I'm telling you,
that's commitment.
He is a competitor. If I could tell you behind the scenes how he is working, oh my goodness, I'm so proud of that.
Yes, and we've got the Carrollton City School Superintendent, Dr. Albertus,
wearing his Hector Trojan outfit from the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Yes.
We had a
Mayor Betty Kaysen.
Yes, we have two mayors. Mayors who are helping us with that. Betty is doing.
And Mayor.
And I'm so sorry, Michael Johnson.
Busy Betty. Yes. She's Busy Betty.
Yes.
And then we've got Mayor Michael Johnson of Temple.
He's the Tin Man.
Yes.
So he's looking, stellar, trying to get that. Is it the heart that the Tin Man needs? Right. He's after that, but really your funds. We also have a couple of football coaches.
Yes, we've got Rich Finley, two-time champion.
Yes, and let me tell you, he's Mr.
Incredible.
Captain Impossible. Oh, sorry.
Mr. Incredible.
Incredible.
Yes.
Who and, is Mr. Incredible?
He's from The Incredibles. He's a cartoon character. Yes. Oh, you've got to check it out.
Okay,
he is buffed up. Yeah. Yes, I think
I
he could do
Kevin
it without
from
this
The Office
team.
Was in that outfit, right?
And then Coach Joel Taylor,
yes,
from the University of West Georgia. He's the new football coach,
yeah,
and he is sporting Where's Waldo?
Very nice.
Another classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have Dr. Tressa Kelly. She's the first lady of the University of West Georgia, and she is dressed up as Wolfie.
Which is the book that she wrote.
Yes.
That was, and let me tell you, she might be a little feisty, too. I'm super excited to see what's coming this week from her.
Yes, we have Jules and James CEO Allison Groom. She's dressed up as Rosie,
the reindeer,
yes,
looking cute as can be. And she just, I saw this weekend, kind of ramped hers up a little bit, too.
Yes. So each contestant has the goal of earning $1,000 from their social media followers. That's the goal. Hopefully, we'll exceed that goal.
Right.
But we also have Dr. Allison Key from
boy, she's involved in every single thing. She's like old school Derek Newton.
I'm telling you. She's amazing.
But let me tell you, she has a schematic plan going on. I watch the layers of what she's pushing out. I mean, and just incredible effort behind that when maybe
she's got a great book character too. She is who is Elvis Presley. And her costume is
killer.
Really, really good.
Is it Elvis?
It is.
Oh,
it
yes
is. Yes,
you got to see this. Look at that.
Oh yeah, right on. Absolutely.
And then we also have from the real estate world, Paula Waters with Realtor Georgia West Realty.
And she's representing the West Georgia Realty Board.
Yes.
So the whole organization. And she is the very hungry caterpillar.
Another classic.
Yes,
right,
yes,
absolutely.
Eric Carl. They are hilarious. I do a morning text group to each of the contestants. And Linda was talking about last year. I'll have to say, Bob Uglum, Cedra McWhorter, and Michelle Morgan last year were the smack talkingest folks. Now this group that I have, they are the epitome of professionalism. Thank you very much
for the
information.
Yeah. We'll see. They've got another week.
Oh, yeah. I love it though. They are. I know. It's like I can just see their little faces behind the screen.
Yes.
Well, I know the motive here is to get money to fund first, but I mean, do you encourage people to read the book? Do you encourage them to vote on the outfit? Do you encourage them to vote on the person because they like them? How do you encourage people to look at this and show their support?
Really, all of those reasons kind of snowball into who you vote for. And the way that you vote, you can go to our Facebook page, FEREST, Readers of Carroll County.
First, like it. Please,
yes,
like our Facebook page and
share it too. And then there's a link in there that you can click. And like Colin was saying, March 1st through the 15th is mm-hmm. when voting is open. A vote is $10 and it goes straight to the children. And actually $50 will supply books for one child in Carroll County for an entire year. $50.
Yeah. That's a great price. And I will go back to what you were saying about the participants. We are very fortunate that the participants that have decided to contribute to this are just incredibly community influencers, mm-hmm. and their presence alone commands respect. Mm-hmm. That if they are pushing it out, this must be something that's very worthwhile. So that is a tremendous benefit for first readers that we've got such quality people that are willing to. Maybe even with a costume, put their name out there that they support what we're doing. So we really are hoping that their influence will draw those votes in, which is money. Anyone that's alive today knows that the price of everything has increased. And so the budget that we've been operating on for several years, last year took a double twice in what it cost us to provide the books. And so we're really having to push a little bit harder than we have before to be able to continue. In Carroll County, we have about 7,000 children who are age birth to 5 years old. We look at educational research that says if you are living in poverty, you have less opportunity to obtain books mm-hmm. and materials. And so with our target of hitting about 50% of those, our budget greatly increases. COVID took a daggone bite out of us, and our registrations were cut severely. But we are right now on the rise. We're at about 2,800 children in Carroll County, and so we really like to get that up to about 3,500. So all of this, kind of comes together in what we're doing.
You said 7,000 up to 3,500.
3,500 is what we're trying to target. 50% of those kids.
Oh, of those kids. Okay, I got you.
Sorry, that's Karen math.
No, you're right on. All right, before we do take that break, we did touch on the digital books. Are there any studies out there that you're aware of, parents are teaching their kids how to read on their phones, or the kids always got their iPhone, so they're reading that way? Are there any studies about that, if that's not as beneficial?
I think the studies that I am aware of really talk about that it's a positive thing to have text in front of children, whether it's digital, print, any means that you can get that text in front of them. The concerns that we have with the digital component is the isolation. So that oral communication that I was talking about, that's equally important. If you think about reading as a two-way street, when I'm reading something, I'm taking information in. But when I'm speaking or writing, I'm expressing. And if I do one without the other, I've got half my package. So while digital text is a positive piece, we also have to have that component of collaboration or conversation.
Ladies, we're going to have about 5 minutes left in this show once we come back, so I hope we get to touch on your initiative one more time, but anything else we want to talk about that you guys do throughout the year. Hopefully we have time for that as well. 854 Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
All right, 854, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice. My name's Colin Worthington, wrapping up our program this morning with representatives from the First Readers of Carroll County, Karen Wild, Linda Bingham, They've got an initiative going on. We'll try and touch on that in maybe the last minute. We did talk a lot about that during the second portion of this program. And one of the participants from last year has commented, and I'll see if you can guess who he, she, it may be. Yeah, it's a giveaway, actually. It was lots of fun last year. Here's the giveaway. Apollo loved being the wolf in my little Red Riding Hood. But she says she claims no smack talk from her. So
Michelle Morgan is awesome.
She's a great supporter.
And such an incredible literacy supporter across our state even. But she is thank you so much.
All right, that's ladies, great. 3.5 minutes. What do you want to tell me before we get out of here that I didn't touch on so far?
So we just want to make sure everybody knows how to find us, how to participate in the competition. Again, it runs March 1st through March 15th. So it's a very short window, but you can find us on Facebook. It's FEREST, Readers of Carroll County, and that is how you place your $10 vote to help out.
But we will also take additional funds if you are not so inclined to vote for the character contest. You'll see Erin Brannon, who is our treasurer. She's listed her contact information. You can reach out to her with donations. I am readily available to come take your money if you are so inclined.
Even if you just wanted to do that $36.
Yes, $50 if you want to sponsor one child for the year. That's a great. Okay. That's what we have increased to from 36 to 50. Sorry, I told you wrong.
You didn't. I've got these old notes. I mean, I think I've had these notes for 10 years. Yeah, using the same ones. Is that
I wish we could stick with that.
Give us an example of the books that were put out last year. Do you know those offhand?
So there's a different book for each age range. So I'll tell you some that I'm aware of. Chrysanthemum is a book that we
classic.
Love. The very first book that comes to any family, any age, is a Read to Me book. And it really kind of walks the parent and the child through what is reading to me. How are we doing that? And just teaching them the sing-song part of it, the looking in each other's eyes, that type thing. But any award-winning book is up for grabs. We have a committee that vets those books and tries very hard to keep them in a very main focus of just literacy and love of literature. Work really hard for that.
I think it's very culturally wide range.
Diverse, yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
All right, 1 minute left. The second annual book character contest. What do I need to know and where do I need to go and how much money can I give you?
Please check us out on Facebook and Instagram. If you just type in the search bar, FEREST, it's going to pop up. You'll see the contestants. Find the one that you're most inclined to vote
for. What if I like two of them? Is that bad to vote for both?
It would be amazing if you would vote for all of them, each of them, or give all your money to one. However we can get your funds, we are happy to receive them. And so thankful.
Yeah, ladies, thank you for coming out this morning. That was easy breezy.
Thank
also,
you.
And our guest this morning, I want to make sure that... I forgot how to phrase it. Our best Community Voice guests bring Chick-fil-A biscuits in the morning.
thank you, Linda.
We do appreciate that. And thank you for watching and listening this morning. Again, if you want to participate in this contest, if you want to vote for somebody and make a donation, it's carolfirst, FEREST.my.canva.site, S-I-T-E. Or you could probably just type in First Foundation and the Googles, and it would pop right up.
Just First Readers.
First Readers, I'm
first
sorry.
Readers,
first
no,
Readers.
No,
all right, ladies, thank you.
Thank you so much,
enjoy
Colin.
The rest of
thank
your Monday.
You. Yes,
all
you
right,
too.
Even though it's wet and nasty out there. For tomorrow, I forgot who we have. I know we have Joel Richards coming on the program Wednesday to discuss the fentanyl awareness event, which is coming up soon. He'll be the guest. And tomorrow, I wish I could remember, but oh well. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you do tune in tomorrow morning at 8:30 here for the Community Voice program, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.